If you are new at Temple Bible Church, we invite you to step into the conference room, which is to your right. As you exit the buildings, there's a welcome center there, and folks can give you information about our ministries and various things that are going on around the church. Also, let me remind you that every single month we provide three helps for you. They're found in the hallway right now as a new month begins. A closer walk will take you through the New Testament a year. Daily walk will take you through the Bible in a year. And our daily bread will be a short daily devotional for you throughout the year. So help yourselves to those and utilize them as you get into God's Word. Also, you'll find two book tables out there. There's a cookbook table. A number of years ago, the ladies from TBC did a cookbook, and we've ordered some more of those there for sale out there. And then there are five different books on a separate table that go along with the series. And you can take a look at the book table there for sale. They're out there. So make sure that you leave a little money behind, if you know what I mean, if you take one of those books. So we will do that. Just a couple of things. In the summer of 2001, we did a series called Your Family Tree. And for that series, I used a resource. It was a book authored by Gary and Barbara Rosberg and called The Five Love Needs of Men and Women. And this morning's message will be based upon the results of that survey that they did. So if you were TBC back then, this is going to be familiar to you. The outline will anyway. They surveyed several hundred couples from evangelical churches across our nations and gave the top five love needs of men and of women. And that's what we're going to look at this week and next week as we study this. This week we're looking at the needs of women. Next week, men. So guys, I'm going to beat up on you this weekend. Bring your wife, your fiance, your girlfriend back next weekend, and I'll beat up on her for you from God's Word. Two statements about this week and next week, though. And I want to say this on the front end, then we'll look at the Word together. Number one, a number of folks have unrealistic expectations of a spouse. Only God can meet your every need. This is not Twilight, if you know what I mean. Right? Every woman wants a husband who is the Twilight dude and the perfect guy. And the reality of it is there's no perfect man. There's no perfect woman out there. Only Christ can meet your needs. Secondly, your marriage will only be as successful as your growth in Christ. So the greatest security you can give your wife or your husband is to grow in Christ. Because when that happens, there's a firm foundation beneath you. And that's where we've been in our study so far. If you have your Bibles, open them for me to Ephesians chapter 5. That's where we begin our study of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 5. Ladies, now's the time that you can hit your husband in the ribs and tell him to get his pen ready, okay? Told you at the beginning of the series, no hitting in the ribs. You can do it right now. So girlfriends, fiancés, wives, if he doesn't have a pen, you can hand him one. It's okay with me. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. Husbands ought also to love their wives as they love their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each individual among you love his own wife even as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respect her husband. Father, as we journey into your word again, as we look at relationships within the family, I just pray that you would take this preparation and take your word and accomplish your purposes in each of our lives. In Christ's name, amen. When God created men and women, he wired us differently. Would you agree with that statement? I mean, he has wired us differently, and really the only way to make this thing called marriage work after your walk with Christ is to understand some of the differences between men and women, between males and females. So I want to begin this morning with a little test to see how much you understand. You ready? Okay, here you go. You'll catch on in a second. Ziploc bags, are they male or female? How many of you say they are male? Let me see your hands. How many of you say they're female? Let me see your hands. How many of you again are saying, I'm not playing your stupid game, let me see your hands? You guys are terrible. Male or female? Well, actually, it is a male because they hold everything in, but you can see right through them. You catching on now? Okay. Copy machine, male or female? How many of you say male? How many of you say female? Wow. Those of you who said female got it right, because once turned off, it takes a while to warm them up. It's an effective reproductive device if the right buttons are pushed, but can wreak havoc if the wrong buttons are pushed. Amen. Get some amens from men out there. There we go. These guys are loving this. Male or female? How many of you say male? Let me see your hands. How many of you say female? Yeah, it's a male, okay, because it goes bald and is often overinflated. Don't look at me and laugh. Here we go. Sponges, male or female? How many say male? How many say female? Yeah, that's an easy one, isn't it? Because they're soft, squeezable, and retain water. Here we go. Hammer, male. How many of you say male? How many of you say female? Yeah, it's a male because it hadn't evolved much over the last 5,000 years, but it's handy to have around. What about this one? Remote control. How many of you say male? Let me see your hands. There we go. How many of you say female? Yeah, look at that. Actually, female. You thought it was a male, but consider it gives man pleasure. He'd be lost without it. And while he doesn't always know the right buttons to push, he sure keeps trying. Okay? You've got to understand these differences, if you will, to be able to understand one another. Here we go. I've used this one before here. If you look at the red line, it's the difference between men and women. As men, if we go to the mall, we're going to bag something to kill it. When we get it, we're gone. For ladies, I don't know, something comes over my wife when she goes to the mall. It becomes a social hour. It becomes something. She wants to see what else she's going to wear before she buys whatever she's going to wear. We're just different, aren't we? I mean, we are wired differently. And unless we allow these differences to unite us rather than divide us, our homes will become houses of cards. If we don't say, viva la difference, if we don't respect and appreciate and love the differences that we have between our spouses, our girlfriends, our fiancés, then we're going to struggle. But if we allow these differences to unite us rather than divide us, our homes will not become houses of cards, but our homes will become that which is built upon a firm foundation. And it's really what I want to talk about this morning. The bedrock for wedlock, if you will. And in their survey, the Rosbergs came up with the five greatest love needs of women. Now, ladies, I know this isn't going to be true for every one of you, but in their survey of several hundred couples nationwide, these were the responses they got. To understand your woman, you have to understand what her needs are. The first greatest need that they saw in their survey for women was a need for unconditional love. And that's quite biblical. The passage I read from Ephesians chapter 5 bears that out. I mean, when you look at the greatest need for a woman according to the scriptures and according to this survey, if you will, it seems to be that. If you look at Ephesians 5 with me, it begins in verse 25 as he addresses the husbands. He says, husbands, love your wives. The Greek word for love there is the word agape. You've heard that word used many times. Paul had four Greek words at his disposal to utilize in this context. He could have used the Greek word erao. We get eros or eros, erao from it. We get the word erotic. It refers to passionate love, but that's not the word he used. He could have used the word phileo. We get the word Philadelphia from it. The word for brotherly love refers to the love between brothers and sisters, between friends, but that's not the word he used. He could use the Greek word stergo, which refers to a love that you have for brothers and sisters within the body of Christ or a close kinship to others, but that's not the word he used. He used the word agape, which is an unconditional love. And by the way, guys, if you write in your Bible, circle the word love there. It is an imperative. That means it's a command. You cannot command an emotion. I can't tell you be happy and you're happy. I can't tell you be sad and you're sad. I can't tell you, you cannot command an emotion. An emotion is not volitional. It's not a choice. This is a command. So what this tells us is the type of love that a husband should have for his wife is much greater than an emotional love. It's a volitional love. That means it's a choice. It's a choice to obey God and do that which is God has asked you to do. Agape love is an obedient love. It's a command. And he says, here's, I command you to love your wife. In all the years I've been here, many, many times I've had guys walk in my office or women walk in my office, and their statement is, the guy will sit with me and says, I don't love her anymore. I said, really? I don't love her anymore. So what's the problem? Well, Pastor Gary, I we've fallen out of love. And I looked that brother in the eyes and say, you know, here's the issue. The issue is not whether or not you love your wife. The issue is whether or not you're going to walk with God. Because if you're going to walk with God, you will love your wife. If you're going to walk with God, the command of the scripture is very clear. And so when you come to me and say, I don't love her anymore, my statement to you is going to talk about, or we're going to talk about your spiritual life, not about your marriage. Because if you walk with God, you will obey God. And just as you'll be a man or woman who has love, joy, peace, patience in your life, just as you'll be a man or woman who does all the other things in the spiritual life, part of the spiritual life, part of the command we see here is husbands love, command, agape, your wife in an unconditional way. Now what does it mean? What is this unconditional love? I mean, in the context, he interestingly describes it for us. I see four ways that Christ loved the church that's brought out in this passage. He loved her, first of all, with a sacrificial love. It's a sacrificial love. It's a love that sacrifices for others. If you look at verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ, just as, there's your comparison. If you remember your English, when you see the word like or as, it's a simile. And he says, here it is, I'm going to give you the analogy. The way to love your wife is Christ loved the church. He says, he loved her, he gave himself up for her. Think about that for a second. What did Christ give up for his bride? He gave up the glories of heaven. He gave up face-to-face fellowship with the Father, and he gave up his very life. He gave everything up for his bride. Agape love, first and foremost, is a sacrificial love. It's a love that loves in spite of, not because of. I will love you in spite of anything that comes our way. When I do weddings, the couples take vows, and I'll ask the question, do you so-and-so take so-and-so to be your lawfully wedded wife, to live together according to the word of God? Do you promise to love and cherish, support in sickness and in health, adversity and prosperity, in sickness and in health, until God calls one or both of you into his presence? And when they get ready to say I do, I almost want to say, hold on, time out. Do you understand what I just asked you? In sickness and in health. That means if they stroke on you at age 60 and you want out. That means if they have an automobile accident at 45 and become paralytic, you're making a covenant before God to stick with them. In sickness and in health, in adversity and prosperity. Adversity. When things don't go the way they should go, when things get difficult, when you don't feel like our sexual life isn't adding up, when you don't feel like finances are where they should be, when you don't feel like, for better or for worse. Guy walked into pastor's office one time and he said, I took her for better or for worse. I didn't know it was going to be this worse. Guys, sacrificial love, men, it's addressed to us. Isn't that interesting? He says, love your wife sacrificially. Sacrifice for your wife. Secondly, it's a purifying love. It's a purifying love. Look at verses 26 and 27. He says, he gave himself up so he might cleanse her, so he might purify her with the washing of water. Why? To present her with no spot, no wrinkle, blameless and holy. It's a purifying love. We are the bride of Christ, pure, holy, and blameless. Christ has made us pure. Agape love is a love that is pure. Men, are you pure for your wives? You pure for her? Do you live a life of purity so that your wife will respect you as a man? I'm going to do a whole sermon on immorality coming up in a few weeks. You can look at, there's a schedule in the bulletin, by the way, so you'll know when it's appropriate, not appropriate to bring little ones in here. You can decipher what that is on there. But Here's what purity looks like. Purity means no secret passwords. You understand what I'm saying? My wife has access to every password that we have. Well, for me, that's only one because I can't remember more than one password. I started doing separate passwords for all this stuff, and I thought, I don't even know what my passwords are anymore. So it's one password. You can get every account I own if you have that password. Guys, there are no secret accounts. There are no secret mailboxes. There are no second cell phones. That's how you remain pure for your wife. There's not another woman. There is no pornography on the internet or magazines. You leave movies that you shouldn't sit through. You don't have wandering eyes looking at other women all the time. A verse I've used several times already in this study is Job 31:1. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look upon another woman with lust. A number of years ago, there was a song that came out, and it was popularized by any number of folks, all the way from the Flamingos to Art Garfunkel. And it goes this way. It says, I only have eyes for you. That's the title of the song. You remember that song? It's a great song. It's a great theological lesson. It says, my love must be a special kind of blind love. I can't see anyone but you. Are the stars out tonight? I don't know if it's cloudy or bright because I only have eyes for you. The moon may be high, but I can't see a thing in the sky. I only have eyes for you. I don't know if we're in a garden or a crowded avenue. You are here, so am I. Millions of people go by, but they all disappear from view because I only have eyes for you. That's what Job 31:1 say. Guys, you want to be pure for your wife? No secret accounts. Get rid of the pornography. Get rid of the wandering eyes. Quit being flirtatious with other women. Quit using jokes with sexual innuendo in the office with other women, because what you're really doing is trolling, hoping you can hook something. I'm not naive. Just stop it. And your wife will respect you in deep ways. When you live a pure life for her, it's amazing what that does for her heart. No secret passwords, no secret email accounts, no second cell phones, no hidden bank accounts, none of that stuff. A godly man does not have that. And if you do, you go home this afternoon and you confess it and you get rid of it. That's what a godly man does. Because a godly man resembles Christ for the church, and Christ purified his church. And your job as a godly man is to live a pure life so your bride will see that purity in your life and desire to live a pure life as well. It's a sacrificial love. It is a purifying love. Thirdly, it is a caring love. Look at verses 28 and 29. Husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. Do you love your own bodies, guys? Men? You smash your thumb. What do? Nothing. You love your body. You're going to take care of it. You got dressed this morning. Did you look into a mirror? Probably not, because your wife was there most of the time. I'm sorry, ladies. I'm supposed to pick on you next week, actually. I mean, here's the reality. He says, you love your own bodies. You take care of your bodies. You nourish your bodies. You cherish your bodies. Look at the next verse. He says, no one's ever hated his own flesh. He nourishes it. He cherishes it. You take care of yourself. It is a caring love. You nourish and you cherish. I love what the messenger talks about here. It talks about it, you have a treasure. You have a treasure. God has given you a treasure. That woman sitting next to you that you're married to, that you're dating, that you're engaged to, she is a treasure. Go ahead and stick your arm around her. Take a time out right now and thank God for the treasure that God has given you today. Now, what do you do with a treasure? I mean, what do you do with a treasure? I miss that. What do you do with a treasure? Yeah. I mean, you treat it special, don't you? I mean, you treat a treasure special. You take care of it. You make sure that you have it. You treat a treasure special. Somebody need to remember that. It's been a long time since your wife has had special treatment from you. been a long time since she has felt special from you. There's great distance between you. You are not nourishing her. You are not treasuring or cherishing her. Let me get real specific. Okay, guys, you ready? Get your pens ready? Here you go. Ways to treasure or cherish your wife. Take her on a date. Ladies, amen? I better hear some amens out there, ladies. There you go. Talk to me. Guys, listen to her. I heard a hallelujah out there. We get charismatic overnight right here. Listen to her. I'm going to say a whole lot more about that in a minute. Guys, discipline the kids. You be the disciplinarian, not her. You take care of those kids. Remember her birthday. Remember your anniversary. Best way to remember her birthday and anniversary is what? Forget it once. Guys, I'm being real specific now. Take care of the car for her. Go get the oil changed. Air up the tires. It'll take you 5 minutes to go to a gas station and fill up the car for her every week. She's not helpless, I know that. Ladies, I'm not saying that about you. But what's the big deal? Every week I hop in Bev's car and I just see if it needs gas, if it needs oil, if it needs whatever. I can't do it myself. I just take it someplace and let them do it. But she doesn't have to think twice about it. Guys, go get it inspected for her. Change the little sticky thing on the front when it's time for the registration to come in. Don't just say, here, bae, take care of it. Spoiler. Spoiler. She may think you're high. How many of you have little kids? Let me see your hands. Got little kids still at home. Get kids at home. Here's one for you guys. Give her a night off. You take care of... Yeah. That guy said, you're smoking crack, Pastor? What's the deal? Give her a night off. You fix dinner. You put the kids to bed. You get them ready for bed and then put them to bed. You do those things. I'm just trying to be real practical because some of you guys, quite frankly, are brain dead. He said, man, I've heard you now talk two sermons about spoiling her. I don't know how to do that, Gary. What do I do? I'm German. I'm Czech. We don't do that. I bring home the bacon and the kolaches. You got to care for her. What makes your wife feel treasured? When does she feel treasured by you? Every man in here should know that. When does she just kind of melt in front of you? Why would you not over and over and over and over be that kind of man? Why not? Make her feel special. Sometimes, even when we try to do special things for you, ladies, they go wrong. Watch this little video. Sometimes we try and it just doesn't work out, right, guys? I mean, sometimes that happens. Then it's an unbreakable love. Finally, it's an unbreakable love. If you look at verses 31 through 33, it says, this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and the two become one flesh for a season. You know what it says? Become one flesh, period. Period. It's unbreakable love. And unconditional love is an unbreakable love. Now, some of you have had your hearts broken. Some of you have broken marriages in the wrong way. You've confessed that before God. You've repented. You've been restored. But I'm going to tell you right now, an unbreakable love is what God's looking for. A love that is not broken. A love where people stay together. They work together. They're together for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. and not enduring it, but enjoying it. Not enduring it, but enjoying it. 50th wedding anniversary party, Grandpa Rosenthal was asked the secret of his long marriage. He stood up before all the family, relatives, and friends who had gathered to share his marital philosophy. He said, we have practiced the same thing for the last 30 years out of the 50. And this is how it's worked well for us. Twice a week, we go out for romantic candlelight dinners. Unfailingly, two times a week, we enjoy delicious food, soft music. We soak up the ambience of the restaurant, sip vintage wine, and have a gourmet dinner. She goes on Thursdays. I go on Fridays. You know, the sad thing about that? That's what happens to a lot of people. They don't enjoy marriage. They endure marriage. And their house is like a place you wouldn't want to be. That's not agape love. That's not the love we're talking about here. We're talking about a love that sacrifices and gives over and over and over and over again. Now, ladies, I need to tell you one thing about unconditional love. Have you heard of the princess syndrome? There's a couple of books written about that. And ladies take these verses out and use it as a trump card to get anything they want, whenever they want, however they want, or they deem their husband not spiritual. That's not what this is talking about. That's not what this is talking about. Our Father loves us with an unconditional love, doesn't he? Does he always give you everything you want, when you want, how you want it, where you want it? Of course not. And so, ladies, don't make this a selfish thing either, where you're the princess of the palace and so the whole world revolves around you. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about being one who honors Christ with your life. The second greatest need, we'll never get through this, is a need for intimacy. In the survey that the Rosbergs did, the first greatest need was a need for unconditional love. The second greatest need they saw among all these thousands of women that they surveyed was a need for intimacy. The need for intimacy. Now, women spell intimacy. How do you spell intimacy, ladies? Yeah, T-A-L-K. Okay? Intimacy is when you talk, we listen, we talk, and you listen, and it's really communication. It's gone back and forth. In fact, 1 Peter 3:7 in front of you says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wife. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner and heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Treat them with respect. The word for respect there is gnosko in the Greek language. It's the word for knowledge. It says, live with your wives in the New American Standard in an understanding way. Bev is my wife. I'm to have a PhD in Bevology. I mean, I'm to know that woman inside and out. I'm supposed to know what makes her happy, what makes her sad, what brings a smile to her face, what makes her cry, what brings her joy, what brings her sadness. I'm to be a student of my wife. Too many guys just stumble through life and they have no idea what their wives' likes or dislikes are, what they enjoy, what they don't enjoy. And so they live life really rather selfishly, desiring what they want, getting what they want, hoping to have it. Grant her honor. That means to respect her. How do you respect your wife? How do you honor your wife? How can you accomplish that? Let me give you some things. You honor your wife when you speak highly of her in front of other people. Isn't that true, ladies? When your husband speaks highly of you in front of other people, it honors you. When you help her make decisions, it doesn't say when you make decisions for her. But when you help her make decisions, you honor her. You honor her when you don't correct her in front of the children. You honor her when you don't look lustfully at other women. You honor her when you're not critical of her in front of others. You honor her when you include her in gatherings, maybe when other men leave their spouses at home. You honor her when you tell the kids you don't speak to your mother that way. Some of the little kids need to hear that. You don't speak to your mama that way. She's the queen. You don't talk to the queen like that. You honor her when you call and let her know your plans have changed. Amen, ladies? You honor her when you keep your commitments. You honor her when you speak positively of her before others. You honor her. You grant her honor. you understand her. Intimacy to a woman is talk, T-A-L-K. Longing to be understood. Men, I'm going to burst your bubbles for a second. Your wife married you for your heart and not your body. It's a revelation for a couple of you. She didn't look out there, look at that stud man, I want him. She fell in love with your heart. She fell in love with the way you treated her and cared for her. She fell in love with the fact that you listened to her, that you talked to her. And then you get married. And you become this monosyllabic brute. How was your day today, honey? She'll ask and you'll say, fine. Did you do anything special?
No.
Nope. The dude has just, you know, done 6 surgeries in a day, or he's managed hundreds of people or 10 people, or he made business decisions, or he something happened with somebody at work, but all he's worried about is getting home. And all she wants is a piece of your heart. Guys, let me give you a suggestion. Listen to her. Turn off the TV, put down the paper, shut off the computer, lay aside the book, make eye contact and listen. I've used this 12 times. I had one lady tell me when I did this series in 2001, she said, Gary, I wish my husband treated me like he treats his customers. He listens to them, he helps them with issues, and he takes them to dinner. I wish my husband treated me like he treats his customers. And I would add to that his friends, his employees, etc. Isn't it sad that we treat other people like that? And not the person we love more than anybody else in the world? A desire for intimacy. Next week we're going to talk about intimacy and men. Intimacy with men. Men spell intimacy what, ladies? S-E-X. Guys, just listen. You know, we want to solve their problems. That's the way men are wired. We're problem solvers. I'll never forget, a number of years ago, Bev came to me and said, I'm tired. And like the bright husband I can be sometimes, my answer was, of course you're tired, babe. This week you did this, 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 and this. And I recited her schedule to her. Do you think she looked at me and said, you kind, understanding, loving husband? She knew her schedule. She knew why she was tired. What did she want from me? She went and put her arm around her and said, I'm sorry you're tired, bae. Take a break. Let's go to dinner. That's what she wanted to hear. But being a man, I'm challenged sometimes, but I'm not the only one. This is a scene you've seen before. It's from the movie Shenandoah. It's a scene between Jimmy Stewart and Travis McClure. Travis McClure is engaged to marry Jimmy Stewart's daughter. He's going to give him some advice from an older man to a younger man about understanding women. Watch this clip.
It's no easy job, Sam, to take care of a woman.
No, sir.
Yeah. They expect things they never ask for. And when they don't get them, they ask you why. Sometimes they don't ask. And they just go ahead and punish you for not doing something you didn't know you were supposed to do in the first place.
What, for instance, sir?
Well, that's a very difficult question to answer, Sam. You're never quite sure. It's just that it's sort of, you might say, relative.
Relative to what, sir?
To how they're feeling at the moment.
And how's that?
You never know.
I don't believe I really understand what you're trying to tell me, sir.
I know. I never understood it myself. I never understood it. It's just one of those things, Sam. It's around. You just don't ever see it. Now, suppose Jenny started to cry one day. Well, you don't know what she's crying about, so you ask her why. Do you follow me, Sam?
Yes, sir.
You ask her, and she won't tell you. And that's when you ask her what it was you did that caused her to cry. She still won't tell you. And that's when you start to get angry. But don't get angry, Sam. She won't tell you why she's crying because she doesn't know. Women are like that, Sam. And it's exasperating. It's. But don't let it make you angry. No. When she gets like that, just walk up and hug her a little bit. Because that's all they really want when they're like that, Sam. A little loving. You understand me, don't you?
No, sir.
You don't.
What a classic line, isn't it? I mean, you look at that segment, and it kind of captures everything we're about, isn't it? I mean, we really, ladies, we do want to understand, but sometimes, quite honestly, you're not easy to understand. But guys, you got to try. The scriptures are very clear in 1 Peter chapter 3. Live with your wives in an understanding way. You have to understand the woman that God has given you. The third thing, the need for spiritual leadership. These women that were surveyed, several thousand women, many churches across America, the need, first of all, for unconditional love. Secondly, need for intimacy. Number three, the need for spiritual leadership. They desired for their husbands to be the spiritual leaders of their families. Guys, it's biblical. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 says, "Now I want you to realize the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." We have the responsibility of leading our families spiritually. Guys, you be the one that makes sure your family's in church. You be the one that suggests a study you can get into. You be the one. Quit being spiritually lazy. Be like Joshua, who said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Some men, quite frankly, need to man up in the area of the spiritual life. You have relegated and delegated the role of leading your family to your wives too long. And God's going to ask you about it, not her about it. Now, you should be a team in this. You should be a team in this. But men, don't be dead weight. Don't be a spiritual squid. A squid has no backbone. You be the one who mans up and says, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve God." Here's the minimum every godly man should do. Every godly man should at least take his wife's hand at night and say, "Honey, let's thank God for today and pray for tomorrow." That's a minimum. That's the minimum. And that should start when you become serious in a relationship. You're dating and you become serious. You're engaged. You need to take that young lady's hand on a regular basis and say, "Let's pray about this. Let's pray about that. Let's do it." Now, ladies, let me give you a little advice. Your husband begins to lead you spiritually. Don't be critical of his prayers. Don't judge his motives. Don't question his every decision. It's easy to have a critical spirit and squash any remote chance of him ever trying to lead you. If he's the kind of guy that you look at and says he can't do anything right, God help you. Because you will squash any desire he has to lead you spiritually. The need for encouragement. The fourth need was a need for encouragement. Twice in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 3:13, encourage one another daily. And if you look at the middle of this verse, as consider how we should spur one another to loving good deeds, let us continue meeting, as not as some have quit doing, but encourage one another. We all have need for encouragement. Men, your wives need to be encouraged by you. You need to be your wife's biggest cheerleader. You need to be the one that thanks her for every meal that's prepared. You need to be one that tells her how great she looks when she gets dressed. You need to be the one who is her encourager. Because if you're not, somebody else will be. And that'll be fraught with disaster. I want to be the one that tells my wife first how great she looks. I want to be the one to thank my wife for the things that she does for us. Guys, you got to romance her. One of the greatest things you can do to encourage her is just romance her. I mean, when's the last time you brought home just some flowers? You can go to Sam's and pick up flowers for $10. When's the last time you've done that? Last time you put a card in the mail to her. Last time you've captured her, taken her somewhere. Now, my house is not going to happen. Bev hates surprises. Got a good friend here. He captured his wife. I forget, it was one of their anniversaries, and captured her and took her actually to Italy. And we were, that story is being related to us by them. And Bev said, "Don't you ever do that." But some of you, your wives are wired that way. Man, surprise them. Do something special for them. Get away with her. Amen, ladies? Get away with her. Take her somewhere. Get her out of that. You go to bed and breakfast in Salado, spend $100 and be a million miles away. You line up the babysitter guys. You make sure it happens. You line up the restaurants. You take care of everything. You go shopping with her. Ladies? Man, you ladies are slow. I'm trying to help you in every way I can today. Golly. I better be getting some hallelujahs, amen, and clapping out there. I'm trying to give these guys some advice. Gosh. I mean, sometimes, you know, the vacation, go see the Texas Rangers play baseball. What does she want to do? What makes her feel like the queen? It's not just going where you want to go, but where she wants to go to do the things that she wants to do. Now, guys, bring her back next week, because I'm going to tell her, go see the Rangers. Finally, oh, somebody put this, I'm not sure who it is, chocolate, coffee, men, some things are just better rich. I don't know where that came from, but there it is. The need for friendship. As iron sharpens iron, so does one man or some woman sharpen another. Guys, the fifth greatest need a woman had was a need for friendship. And I'm not talking about friendship with you. That's a great need, but friendship with other women. And I meet a lot of men who are jealous because their wives have friends. I am grateful that my wife has good friends. I'm grateful there are women in this body that sharpen my wife, that challenge my wife, that pray for my wife, that go out to lunch with my wife, that meet with my wife, that spur her on, that make her laugh, that it makes my job so much easier as a husband. And let's face it, guys, there are certain things only women can understand about other women. Isn't that true, ladies? I mean, somebody sent me this email. Things only women understand about other women. Why it's good to have 5 pairs of black shoes. I don't get that. I mean, I've got a pair of dress shoes, a pair of tennis shoes, and a pair of flip-flops. That's enough right there. Why? Things only women understand about women. Fat clothes, whatever that means. Menopause. I mean, I don't understand menopause. Saw a bumper sticker in Dallas several years ago, PMS equals mad cow disease. I don't understand that. Final thing. A good man may be hard to find, but a great hairdresser is the next to impossible. Obviously, I can't relate to that at all. Women need other women. They need other women. Guys, don't be jealous. In fact, you encourage your wife to have good friends. You make it possible for her to have good friends. Top 10 things men understand about women. There they are. Godly men treat their women like queens. One of my good friends over here called me last night and he said, "I can preach your sermon tomorrow." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You can tell us treat her like a queen." Same message. Doesn't change. Because that's what God calls us to do. And when you do that, it's amazing. It's amazing what can be accomplished. It was a busy morning, writes a nurse. It was about 8:30 when an elderly gentleman came into our office. I estimated he was about 82, 83. He came in, had some stitches in one of his thumbs that he said needed to be removed. I knew it would take about an hour. He had to sit out there, so I took his vital signs, gave him a seat, and he said he was in quite a hurry. I could tell he was antsy, so I went to my physician. He took a quick look at him, and he told me I could take the sutures out. It was well healed, and so I turned to him as I was taking the sutures out and said, "If you're in such a hurry, why'd you make a doctor's appointment at this time in the morning?" I mean, where do you have to be at this hour? He says, well, I'm headed to the nursing home to eat breakfast with my wife. I inquired as to his wife's health. He told me she had been there for a while. She was a victim of Alzheimer's. As we talked, I finished dressing the wound, and I asked if she would be worried because he was going to be a bit late this day. He replied no, because she no longer knew who he was, that she really hadn't recognized him in about 4 years now. I was shocked. I was shocked, writes this nurse. I said, so you still go there every morning, the same time, have breakfast with her, even though she doesn't know who you are? I'll never forget his answer as he patted me on the shoulder. He said, ma'am, she doesn't know who I am, but I know who she is. That's an unbreakable love, the way it should be. Father, we pray that we'll be like that till the day you take us home. You're here today, you're not sure Christ is your Savior? That's where this journey begins. It begins with knowing Him. You're here today and know Him as Savior? You got some things that need to be fixed at home? Why don't you get them fixed? You're just enduring a marriage? That's not what God wants. He wants you to enjoy it. You're here today and you're blessed with a great spouse and a great relationship right now? Thank God for Him. Father, we thank You for meeting us here today as we celebrate our freedom. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.